Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. It is a Yacht Rock Thursday edition of Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn. You can always be a part of the show. Please do hit us up on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. You also can hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. Harge is at Hardball Harge in the Twitterverse. And, man, Patrick Davis is at It's Patrick Davis in the Twitterverse. All right, we'll get to, there's a couple of stories, a couple of Cowboys-related items we want to get to. Injuries, we'll talk about those. So there are a few injuries that are of note for the Cowboys in training camp so far. Also, we'll get to our Horn Top 20 countdown. It's Wisconsin at number 12 currently right now. But I want to get to my favorite report that I heard about the Cowboys. I actually read it in Dallas Morning News, so it's pretty credible. So according to the Dallas Morning News, Harge, the Cowboys are so... Basically, they're so obsessed and so adamant about getting Tony Pollard the football in a variety of different ways, right? Using him as a slot receiver, putting him in the backfield with Zeke, all those different things that we read about on how they're going to deploy him, that they hired him his own tutor, basically a concept tutor, which is Kyle Valero. And they didn't hire this guy. He was already a part of the staff. But they've basically designated him to have a responsibility as a Cowboys offensive assistant to make sure that Tony Pollard understands his role, his responsibilities, and what is going to be, we all assume, a new weaponized way that they're going to utilize Tony Pollard this season.
Well, I mean, we've been talking about it for quite some time about how he should be getting the ball or being a little bit more featured within the offense, whether it's at the wide receiver position, whether it's with the two back part. We even heard some of that during the camp that Zeke was playing fullback at one point,
yeah,
leading the way for
him.
He's
a great blocker.
So that's good. But my question is, why is it that you have to hire a tutor to be able to,
well,
I mean, not hire him, but
I think
designated somebody with them.
Yeah, basically, if they want to turn him into that type of hybrid player, I just think they're just worried to make sure that he understands the assignment.
Yes.
Right?
That's the way to put it,
like,
yeah.
Go make sure you go out of your way to, because he's going to have such a specialized role, it's not going to be like anybody else is on the team. So
Right. Usually
you'd be able to go to teammates almost in a, you know, almost like a study session type capacity where
Right. You
can talk about things, talk about concepts, talk about the coverages, talk about whatever it may be, and you guys can educate yourselves that way and talk things through. He has nobody he can talk that through with, really.
Yeah.
He's going to have such a specialized role. They're going to start him out in the backfield, motion him out to the slot, probably start him out in the slot, put him back in the backfield, reload the backfield with him, you know, doing a lot of funky things with him at times, which is unlike. So I actually like it. I mean, I like the move. More people will probably mock the move. I like the move.
Well, I don't think I would, you know, necessarily mock it. I think it's something that, well, you're right. Some other people will probably mock
the move. Yeah, some people will mock it.
But I look at him and say, all right, man, what are you going to do next to get yourself that extra bit of money? Because this is, if I'm not mistaken, this is a contract year for him.
It is.
Yeah.
And so
I think this is the year that he's got to make that money. And if the Cowboys want to use him up, because Zeke is going to, I guess not command, but he's going to be a big part of the salary cap. I think you got the numbers about his numbers.
Yeah, he is.
Like non-quarterback, I think he's number one on the list as far as a cap hit.
He's, I think, the ninth highest cap hit for a non-quarterback.
For the non-quarterback. So he's somebody that you're going to either have to make a decision on, you're going to either have to restructure, or you're going to have to move on from him to try to cut that out. And maybe Pollard is the answer for you right now.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I still think they'll make Zeke a big. I mean, Jerry's already said it. We heard it from Jerry this offseason.
That's true.
He
yeah.
said Zeke will be the focal point of the running game, and actually mentioned Kevontae Turpin before he mentioned Tony Pollard.
So I was like, yeah, we're gonna use Pollard like we're gonna do Turpin.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah, I was like, whoa. I think you're supposed to switch that around. So maybe Jerry just got it mixed up at the time. But there's no doubt about it. Tony Pollard, if you look at yards per touch, I mean, Zeke is around 4.5. Tony Pollard's around 6.2. You're just looking at yards per touch. So either way you want to break it down, I mean, Tony Pollard just needs to see the football more. I'm not even in the camp that says he needs to see the football more than Zeke Hurts, but 6.4 yards per rush when he rushes outside the tackle. That's second best in the NFL. He is second in the NFL in yards after contact per carry, seventh in first down rate. He's just been really explosive, but that has been a smaller sample size as opposed to Zeke, who gets the workhorse kind of workload, if you will.
Yeah, well, speaking of a workhorse type of load, you know, you're talking about trying to figure out how we're going to use Pollard and what is Zeke's role going to be. And the first headline that I see is, after the scrimmage, the Cowboys may think they're run-first strategy because the Broncos' defense – pretty much handled the Cowboys during their scrimmages. And this is why we won't see a lot of first-teamers for the Cowboys in this scrimmage this weekend. I mean, in the preseason game.
Yeah.
Because of the fact of all the work that they get on these 2 days where they're scrimmaging against each other, they said that the offensive line still looks like they are having some struggles, so to speak.
Yeah. I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah.
Because I know Connor McGovern, remember we talked about that yesterday, he and Tyler Smith, that left guard spot. We've heard that Terrence Steele, he hasn't regressed, but he hasn't been as consistent as they would have liked so far. And we know Tyler Biadasz last year, let's be honest, last year was a bit of a liability. It was about a bit of a liability on the offensive line. So I'm not surprised by that. I mean, that may take a while to gel. And Denver's defense is good.
They're very good.
That's a top 10 defense. That might be a top 5 defense.
That is a very good looking group of football players over there by the Denver Broncos.
That's a nasty group. But I just think when you lost a wide receiver, when you lost, 32% of your receiving production when Amari Cooper and Cedric Wilson left, and you're dealing with injuries with James Washington at the wide receiver position and Michael Gallup as well. You know, Tony Pollard, who's played in that slot before, even going back to Memphis, when they drafted him to be a web back. They drafted him to be this. They wanted him to be a Deebo Samuel before Deebo Samuel became the kind of the archetype for that hybridism at that position. But they never really utilized him that way. Now they're trying to make that a reality. I love this number too. That if you go, the Cowboys were 9-2 when Pollard had at least 5 touches in the first half of games last season. 1-4 when he had fewer than 5 touches in the first half.
Right.
And that's first half. I mean, that should be a part of your initial game plan, is getting Tony Pollard involved.
Well, and don't you just want to run the ball a little bit more to the outside? If you say, hey, our O line is having trouble creating the A and B gap. We're having troubles creating the A and B gap. Zeke is pretty much an A and B gap runner.
Yeah, he is.
So if we need to do that, we need a guy who's quick enough to get to the outside. Yep. That's Pollard. I get he's not the greatest pass blocker, but at a certain point, if you say,
we're not
hey,
passing.
Man, our run game has to go to the outside
yeah.
because the A and the B gap are having trouble getting form fully, and we know Zeke can't run. Zeke's not an outside runner, really. He is much more A-B.
Not anymore.
That's
not
a
anymore.
Great point. And it would be really a disappointment in your development overall if you haven't taught him how to be a more competent pass blocker when he's been with your organization for, 3 years
If you're trying to stick him in the wide receiver room and the tight end room and then a little bit in the running back room and you don't stick him over there and go, here's how to pass block.
Yeah.
I think you're missing the point.
I agree like that. Yeah. So he should at least be serviceable as a pass blocker. It shouldn't be something
and
that's
a lot
liability.
Of times you don't have to be knocking people down, just get in the way half the time.
Yeah, and then scream really loud so Dak knows to throw the ball.
Because yeah. I'm open.
I missed my block.
Look out. Right. Look out, blocks.
Oops. A couple other nuggets. J-Ron Curse has missed practice the last couple of days. He's dealing with a back issue. So it's not anything pressing, but that's why he's missed the last two practices. Trevon Diggs has got some soreness, but I know. Maybe just hurt feelings
the
for Trevon Diggs.
Feelings are the soreness.
That's why he deleted his Twitter account, deleted his social media.
Yeah, it's too toxic.
Yeah.
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 It can be.
You do what you need to do, Trevon Diggs, to make sure that you play really well next season.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb, they said load management is going to be something that they consider with him. So if he's missing time, that's likely because of that, not an injury. And Will Greer. is dealing with a groin injury. They're going to reevaluate him on Friday. If he can't go on for the preseason game, you would expect for a Cooper Rush and DiNucci to get the most of those reps. Because Dak,
I'm glad I got plans Saturday night instead of watching that mess right there. Because,
DiNucci.
This is what we've been talking about. And I know it's a situation where Dak's just not going to play.
Yeah, he
shouldn't. Cooper Rush did get a win in the NFL, and it was against the Minnesota Vikings, which is a solid football team. So, and he was going up against Zimmer, and Zimmer's one of the best defensive minds in the game. I don't know where Zimmer is. That's why I said was. I know he's not with Minnesota. He may be coaching somewhere else. But
no, I don't think he is right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you look at that and you say, okay, who's going to be a formidable backup? I still don't believe in Cooper Rush. You know I don't believe in DiNucci. You know I don't believe in that. But is there going to be a quarterback that's out there that the Cowboys can go and grab that might get cut? Hell, I would have been better with Chase Daniel being the backup quarterback.
Chase Daniel's been one of the most expensive backups in the league.
Yeah, he's been living on that backup.
That's an expensive backup. Yeah. I don't know why. He's got a good agent, but he's always signing great deals for backups.
And never take a snap.
Maybe a few during the season, but Chase, I'm with you, man. Chase Daniels, he's got a good agent, and he's lived a nice life as a backup quarterback in the league. Okay, before we get to our Horn Top 20 countdown, let's get to this Pro Football Focus predictions, bold predictions for every NFC East team. I just want to get to the Cowboys. We'll maybe get to a couple of the other ones. But they said, how about this? This year, Dak Prescott will post his worst Pro Football Focus grade since 2018.
Come on, man.
Yay or nay? Harsh. Yay or nay? They said Prescott has had a fascinating NFL career. After being drafted in the fourth round, it was immediately clear that the league just missed on him as he has been a far superior player than the draft process believed. From that point, he was proved capable of a very high-end play, but he also appears to be one of the most affected quarterbacks by changes to his supporting cast. This season, he has to deal with the loss of Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup likely missing the start of the year, and an offensive line that is undergoing some changes. In the past, Prescott's supporting cast wanes, so does his play. It wouldn't take much of a decline for him to earn a overall Pro Football Focus grade in the 70s rather than the 80s, which would be his worst year since 2018. Do they? I think they make a good point, though, about the supporting cast for Dak. Remember, that's why they traded for Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
They freaked out that year, and they were like, oh, we got wide receiver by committee. We're fine. Dak's coming up, becoming a superstar. That guy's, he's going to be great. And it's like, he needs weapons.
Well, yeah. That's why they
he's
went
not
out.
Aaron Rodgers.
That's why they
Tom Brady.
Exactly. He needs
weapons.
He's not. And he's definitely not that. He's not running around making everybody around him better.
Yeah.
I just think that with Dak, I wouldn't put that on him probably having his worst year. I think
since
2018.
Then they said basically since that last time they tried to experiment with a so supporting cast.
Yeah, I don't think that. I think he's going to have to step up. I mean, this is it right here. This is where you earn your money, because they've even talked about giving him an extension already.
Oh yeah, you need to.
Yeah, because the way the money is being tripped
paying
around,
$60 million.
Exactly. So they're trying to work on that right now, but. But for me, it's more about, okay, is CeeDee Lamb ready to be the number one wide receiver? That's not on Dak. That's on CeeDee.
Yeah.
Get open. Then I also look at, okay, are you going to pay his tight end, who is his number one safety net, in Dalton Schultz?
I think they will.
And then the third part of it, you just talked about it, Ra. How are you going to use another weapon that he does have in Pollard? Are you going to make him more of a priority? Seems like you are. You got him tutored right now. You got him in classes to understand what the offense is going to be like and what he can be used as. So those are the bigger parts of Dak's success, not just Dak going out there, to your point of being Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. We've all agree he's not that. Mm-hmm. We all know that he's not that. What are you doing to help him? And if those are the pieces that you have, go ahead and use them. And don't forget, they did draft Jalen Tolbert for him who's been doing well.
He's been playing well.
Well, that's why I think they went and got that piece, too. They tried to get James Washington for him, and he ended up getting hurt.
Yep. And speaking of, their next prediction is about Jalen Tolbert. It says rookie wide receiver Jalen Tolbert will record 900-plus yards. That's their next prediction. One thing that might help Prescott out is that Tolbert has the talent to step in and contribute in a meaningful way. The third-round rookie out of South Alabama, had a phenomenal college career, racking up almost 1,500 yards last season. He recorded 35 explosive plays in his final season and showed well at the Senior Bowl when the level of competition was elevated. He has a complete skill set that should allow him to win in multiple ways early on, as the Cowboys need a secondary option in the passing game. Dallas has the offense that gives him the bandwidth to chase 1,000 yards over the season, even with a healthy CeeDee Lamb and Gallup ahead of him. Mm. They actually were close to having 3,000-yard receivers. That was one of my Black Stradamus predictions that did not happen. I remember that. Before that season with Amari Cooper, Gallup, and CeeDee Lamb, I said they'd have 3,000-yard receivers. They came close, and they did not. But, yeah, I mean, that's something that possibly could happen. So you basically said you like Jalen Tolbert that much?
Yeah. I got a chance to see him up close and personal when it came down to Texas State. I happened to actually be on the sideline, so I got a chance to watch him. Mm. He's a big dude, and he can move like effortlessly.
He's fluid.
He was one of those guys that when you saw him, you were like, oh, yeah, he's an NFL player. I didn't know he was going to be our NFL player for the Cowboys, but I knew he would be playing in the league, and now he's going to get his opportunity. And I hope that they find a way to feature him a lot more to see if that's our future.
What I liked about his game, because I went back after you talked about him, then the Cowboys drafted him, and I was like, all right, let me go watch him. I went back and watched him. What I love about his game is he sinks his hips really well for a big wide receiver, and his deceleration is really impressive. People don't talk about deceleration enough. Everybody talks about acceleration because that's sexy. But most of your routes you're running, a lot of them you're having to decelerate.
Right.
To come in and out of a break. So your ability to accelerate,
unless
yes.
you're Sark's wide receiver. He don't want you slowing down.
He don't want you slowing down. Yeah, he don't like deceleration. But for a lot of guys, whether you're running, you know, in cuts or whether you're going to run a post route or whether you got to run a post corner, a lot of those different routes, you got to be able to decelerate, come back out of it, run the curl route, even the slant. So I think for him, that's what I saw that I really liked, this ability to decelerate out of those breaks. Okay, let's get to this last one because I think it's really interesting. We've talked about this before. Trevon Diggs, this is about him, the third and final prediction, bold prediction by Pro Football Focus for the Cowboys. Trevon Diggs records fewer than half the interceptions, but a better Pro Football Focus grade than last year. Diggs was one of the NFL's most polarizing players last season because he led the league in interceptions and total yards given up in coverage. Diggs earned a 66 Pro Football Focus coverage grade despite the interception figure due in part to how some of those interceptions arrived, but also because of the bad play between them. This season, his turnover total will likely tumble and could easily be cut in half. Mm-hmm. Even if it does, he will likely be a better player overall and could see his Pro Football Focus grade improve if he cuts down the miscues. Diggs gave up a massive 18.5 yards per reception last year, the highest figure in the league. Jalen Ramsey gave up 10 yards per catch. A.J. Terrell, 6.9 yards per catch. Diggs won't have the hype this year absent of the gaudy interception total, but he'll be a better player. That I totally agree with.
Yeah, we talked about it the other day before it even came out, and we all both agreed that he would probably have seven interceptions, and that's fine with me. Just don't give up the big play like you've been given. I know it's part of the game. It's going to happen. But if you could cut that in half, like you said, 18.5 yards per reception, that's a lot, man.
That's why
you gave up over 1,000.
That's a lot.
You know, so if you could cut that down to 9, we're cool with that.
Dude, cut it down to 12, I think. Right. I mean, that is a massive number. I didn't realize that. That's a massive number. He led the league in yards allowed for a defender in coverage and yards per reception allowed. But he makes a lot of plays on the football. I'll go back to when he first got to Alabama, he was playing safety and corner and wide receiver, and he was a return man. And then they moved him officially to corner his sophomore year. I believe at that time he ends up getting hurt, And then the junior year, I think, want to say, oh, no, sorry. He actually got beat out his sophomore year. I think he has hurt his junior year. He got hurt like the mid-season point of his junior year. So he really only got to start an entire season at corner, I believe, that last season at Alabama, that first season with the Cowboys, second season with the Cowboys. You're talking about going on his fourth or fifth season
as a true
at the high
back.
Level. Yeah, as a yeah. true cornerback.
Yeah.
So I think, and they asked.
Hey man, you playing at that level? I need you to get better. Let's go.
Yeah, and they exactly. And they asked Will McClay about it. Are you worried about all the hype? Him having to delete his social media because he's getting beat? And he said no. He said he's an all pro. That guy's gonna get better. And I do. I think his trajectory, his upside, is gonna be huge because I do think he is just figuring out how to play the position. His eyes are just really bad. You got bad eyes. You got bad feet. Yeah, your feet gonna go where your eyes go.
Yeah,
and that's why he looks like sometimes he's stumbling out of his breaks and looks like he's getting beat real bad. His eyes are staring in the backfield. It is that same instinct though that allows him to jump routes that nobody else jumps.
That's why we talk about it. You start watching film. You start looking at some of the things that are happening, and coaches see, oh, yeah, he got bad eyes. He got bad feet because he got bad eyes. Let's double move him. Let's continue to keep going at him because most people aren't throwing away from him. Yeah. They're not afraid.
No, they're attacking.
They're not throwing a lot to some of those lockdown corners that we truly believe are lockdown corners.
Yeah.
They're going at him. That's why he got 11 interceptions.
Yeah, it's basically roulette.
Yeah.
You just go, you kind of just go, you know, when you kind of go, you're
always
like.
Always bet on black.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He said, you're going to win or you're going to lose. Yep. Like, yeah, it's just that simple. It's pretty easy. Yep. Let's get to our Horn Top 20 countdown. Let's get to Wisconsin at 12.
When you put that uniform on, you better come to work.
It's the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Allstat Beer. No impurities, no regrets. Number 12, the Wisconsin Badgers.
All right, Wisconsin at number 12 on our Horn Top 20 countdown. Paul Christ coming off a consistent year. I mean, he was 9-4, got his sixth bowl game in 8 years. Here's what I pay attention to, Harge. I was talking to a friend of mine who he's a Badger, so he loves his Wisconsin Badgers. He said that they had their three best recruiting classes in school history in the last 4 years or so, and now all those guys are supposed to be either competing for starting spots or starting right now. So even though you may not know all the projected starters for Wisconsin, there's a lot of hype surrounding Wisconsin football right now. But, man, they averaged on offense less than 26 points per game. Truly a Big Ten offense last year. They got to get that, I think, corrected. But once they do that, we know the defense. There's a defensive culture at Wisconsin that exists, and it has been there for a decade plus now.
Jim Leonard.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been there for a long time. I want to go back to something real quick that you brought up about Paul Chris. Do you remember he was in a conversation to come into the University of Texas to be the offensive coordinator at one point, replacing Greg Davis. He was coming in to replace Greg Davis. And, you know, he wasn't that type of coach, though. I mean, when you come to the University of Texas, you look at it in the Big 12, you're throwing the ball all over the place. He's a Wisconsin guy. He's from Wisconsin. This is perfect for him. And him being that OC, that mindset. Think about the Badgers and what they've done on the ground. Ron Dayne, Heisman Trophy winner. Mm-hmm. Melvin Gordon, Monty Bell, and the recently retired James White all went to Wisconsin and had successful careers. So now you're looking at the running back, Braylon Allen, who's a big running back. He had over 1,268 yards rushing, 6.8 yards per carry. With 12 touchdowns. He averaged 105 yards a game. Think about that and what Wisconsin was all about. And then you talked about the defensive side, and I know you appreciate this, Rod, because you like good defense. They only gave up 3.12 yards on the ground last year.
Yeah.
They were first in the nation in that situation right there. Not only that, they were number 4 in scoring. In scoring defense with 16, giving up 16.2 points per game. They only gave up 64.8 yards rushing for the season. And then fourth in the nation in passing yards with 174. It's in the Big Ten. They don't throw the ball that much. But that's still good.
Still good, man.
Still good. And they were number 1 in total defense.
Yeah.
239 yards per game. That is why Wisconsin has always been in the mix every single year. I remember back in the day with Barry Alvarez. He used to come to our school and try to recruit us to go to Wisconsin. And we were like, we're not going way up there. It's cold up there. But then when I played in the minor leagues, I went to Madison, Wisconsin. I was like, dang, I should have came up here. It's a great town. It's like Austin. They got their own Sixth Street up there.
They do.
So it's a party up there. But when you look at how it's played in the Big Ten with the way you were just talking about it, the way they run the ball and how they try to lean on it like that, this is going to be a fun year in the Big Ten again for Wisconsin.
A real quick stat about Braylon Allen, because they do have a new offensive coordinator, Bobby Engram.
Bobby Engram.
Is going to be the new offensive coordinator there. So hopefully he can bring a new culture of offense to match up with that dominant defensive culture that they've had there at Wisconsin. But Braylon Allen, he will be the focal point of the offense. How about this? This is how physical this guy is. He led the FBS in yards when facing an eight-man box. Eight guys in the box. He averaged. He had 814 yards, and he had 4.5 yards after contact per attempt.
Yeah.
4.5 yards after contact per attempt. That guy was a freak. So
I love it.
Hopefully they can get things together with the offense, but that defense is always going to bring it there in Wisconsin. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into Harsh Knock. Like, what you got coming up for the people?
We got Nico Hamilton, running back for Lake Travis Cavaliers. We're going to talk a little football because this, hey, 2 weeks away. They play on the Thursday night.
Coming.
Big time. ESPN is going to be there,
too. Ooh-wee. Yeah, I know he's excited about that. We'll talk about that when we come back. Harsh Knock Life right here on 104.9 The Horn. If you
Ladies and gentlemen, guys and dolls, the main event of the evening for your entertainment and pleasure.
Mike, you have to be so combative.
Now, I probably wouldn't say this in front of white folks. But in front of y'all, I'm gonna speak my mind.
He has emotional anger issue problem.
Hey, are you Dirty Mike and the boys?
I'm Mike Lowry.
Michael!
Oh, that's funny. Michael!
Welcome back to a Yacht Rock Thursday edition of Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. It's your boy Harbaugh Harge. You can follow me at Harbaugh Harge. You can follow my man Rod Babers at Rod Babers. And you can follow my man Patrick Davis at It's Patrick Davis. We love when you're a part of the show, so you can be a part of it on the Specs text line 512-337-3776. And joining us right now on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline is a young man that I know very well. He is the running back for the Lake Travis Cavaliers. He's going into his junior year. He is one Nico Hamilton. Nico, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
Man, glad to have you on with us. Welcome to 104.9 The Horn and Ball Don't Lie. This is the home of Lake Travis Cavaliers football, 104.9. Bucky Godbolt and my man Mark Honey taking care of the Lake Travis Cavaliers. But, you know, Nico, we want to get right into it. So this year is going to be a little bit different year. This is going to be the first year that you're going to be the starting running back. You're going to have an opportunity to put up some good numbers, but you're also playing on a great football team. But I want you to talk about Derek Johnson. Derek Johnson, the former running back that was there last year, and what he meant to you as far as learning the Lake Travis way, so to speak.
I think Derek was a huge inspiration. I mean, seeing him, you know, carry our team, he was the biggest part of our team for sure, no doubt. You know, he had about 20 touchdowns last season. So, I mean, just seeing him and how important he was to the team and how much he did for the team, you know, it influenced me a lot of what's going on today and how just how I've been operating at practice, knowing that he's not there anymore and I have to fill his shoes.
Hey, Nico, every running back I know has got a favorite play. What's your favorite play? What's your favorite type of run play? Don't give me the exact play because I don't want Coach to be mad at us for giving up information. Just give me your favorite type of run play for a running back.
Probably outside zone.
Oh yeah.
Get a little cutback.
Well, you like them options, right? You got options with the outside zone, right?
Oh yeah, but most of the time, I'm not even gonna give that much information.
Okay, I like that. No, don't give up them trade secrets.
Hey, it's outside zone.
All right, I like that.
We're talking to running back Nico Hamilton of the Lake Travis Cavaliers. They get to play their first game of the year this year. 2 weeks from today on ESPN. So tell us a little bit about you guys and how you're feeling knowing that the first game of the year this year will be on ESPN.
Not really. The guys don't really talk about it like that. But, I mean, when it is brought up, I mean, we all know. We all see it as, like, a huge just exposure opportunity and eye-opener. It could be a very big eye-opener for everybody because I feel like a lot of people sleep on us now that a lot of seniors are gone.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We've been thinking about that as well. We just got a text from a listener that wanted to ask a question about the new district realignment. There's a lot of tough teams that have been added to y'all's district when before it was really just I'm not going to say a two-team race because Bowie decided that they was ready to come to the party as well, but it was normally Lake Travis and Westlake battling for the top two spots. Now you bring in some new teams, some new thought processes, some new defenses. What have you been thinking about when you start looking at some of the teams that have been put into y'all's new district?
I don't really think much of it, to be honest. I still think that it's a – I still see it as a two-team race. I mean, I don't want to say I'm underestimating these teams, but I have very high expectations for Lake Travis, and I would still put us, you know, ahead of everyone else.
Hey, Nico, let me – I want to ask you about, obviously, you love football. That goes without saying. But what would you say is your passion outside of football? So what do you love outside of football like that?
That's a good question.
I know. It's a good because I trust me, that was hard for me to think of that when I was playing, too. All I loved was football. I was eating, yeah, sleeping, breathing football.
That's – man. I mean –
Or how about this? What you going to major in when you go to college?
Yeah, there we go.
How about that?
Man, growing up, I always wanted to be a lawyer.
Okay.
Just 'cause my parents told me, I'm pretty good at getting a point across and arguing. So, and then I thought about it. I was like, man, maybe I wouldn't be a good lawyer. So, I'm considering the 8 years of college.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because definitely will be there for about 8 years. We're talking to Nico Hamilton, running back for the Lake Travis Cavaliers. The Cavaliers, we are the home of the Lake Travis Cavaliers right here on 104.9 The Horn. Nico is a 3.9. He has a 3.9 GPA.
Oh, he might be a lawyer.
He might be a lawyer. Last year, he had 154 carries with 794 yards, 5.2 yards per carry, and 7 touchdowns. And I happened to be at the game when you got your first touchdown against Converse Judson. And I was proud of you because I was looking at how hard you were running in between those tackles to get that first touchdown. So take us inside that thought process and how it felt to get your first varsity touchdown your first year at Lake Travis.
Man, I remember this so thoroughly. It was a great feeling. I remember the play before I scored. It was probably like a 20-yard run, and at the end of the run, there was a safety coming down, and I trucked him, but I didn't get the touchdown. It was down at like the 1. So I was just hoping. I was like, come on, you got to give me the ball after that one. So they gave me the ball again, and then I scored, and I got up, and everybody was cheering. It was a great feeling. It was a great feeling that filled up inside me. And after the game, too, like seeing all my friends, like, bro, you scored, like sending me videos of, it was a really good feeling.
You just inspired another question from me, Nico. What does a running back take more pride in, running somebody over or putting a nice juke on somebody where you just kind of juke them out of their shoes? Like, which one? Or just running away from everybody, just straight up speed, turning on the burners, and just running away from all the defense. What do you take more pride in? I'm sure you've done all three.
I love contact, so I would definitely – I love hearing that. Ooh, I've been hearing it since Little League. I love hearing that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I know that sound.
I've heard it a couple times myself.
Yeah.
So, Nico, before we let you go, thank you. Number one, thank you for joining us today on Ball Don't Lie on the Horn. And I wanted to ask you this. You know, there's been a lot of great players that have come through Lake Travis. We all know the names. Everybody's continuing to move around. But you've got some teammates that are starting to make a name for themselves. Bo Edmondson, you know, the quarterback. He's got his Michigan State commitment right now. And then you got another one, Mr. Estes, who's probably going to play both sides of the ball, if I'm not mistaken. That's what I've been hearing. So give us a player on your team that probably no one's really talking about that you think – is going to make a huge impact this year, obviously, besides Nico Hamilton.
I definitely think our biggest sleeper, and I don't know why he is so slept on, is Taven Lewis. He had the leading tackles in the district last year, and it just baffles me how nobody talks about it. I definitely think he's a big part of our defense, and a lot of people are definitely sleeping on our defense, but if I can mention any name and say that anyone's underrated, I would definitely say that it's him. He's a linebacker that moves like just like a defensive back. He runs a 4.4 40.
Wow.
Man. Well.
Yeah, he's moving.
Well, nobody's going to be sleeping on that name anymore. Mm-hmm. Taven Lewis, right?
Taven
Lewis. Taven Lewis. Okay. Hey, I think I remember seeing that young man last year, and I think I saw him at 707 when Rod and I came to check y'all out over at Cedar Ridge earlier this summer. Well, Nico, thank you so much, man. Enjoy this ride that you're on, and tell everybody in the family I said hello, and we can't wait to see what Lake Travis has in store this year.
Sir, it's going to be big.
I can't wait. There he is, Nico Hamilton, running back for the Lake Travis Cavaliers. You can hear every Lake Travis Cavalier football game right here on 104.9 The Horn.
All right, I like that. Say he likes that. Ooh. I know that sound. I know exactly that sound.
We've been given it before.
It's like he likes that. I know that. I don't want to be on the other end of that sound. Right. I'll play defense. So I don't like that sound necessarily if I'm on the field. That means one of my teammates got ran over, or, oh, God forbid, Rod B is on the ground on his back like a cockroach. You know what I mean? Just struggling. And hopefully that is not the case. But yeah, thanks, Nico, for his time, and good luck to him and Lake Travis this year. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into a little Hard Knocks reviews that are out there. I watched some of it, didn't finish the episode. That's how I know I'm an old man. We'll get into it a little bit, actually, talk about some of the highlights from Hard Knocks and Off the Record, all that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.
D.D. Mega Doo-Doo, I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a break in the head comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! F***ing thing sucks!
All right, welcome back to another edition of Off the Record right here on Ball Don't Lie. All right, guys, I don't know if you were watching Hard Knocks this year. Usually I'm a little late on Hard Knocks, but, you know, I did play for the Detroit Lions, so I got some love for the Lions there. I hate to say it, I'm one of the few people here, me and Chip Brown.
You and people Chip here Brown, paying attention right,
to. I never
right.
bring them up on the show, but I pay attention to the Lions a lot. I hate to say it, but they are on Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
And, guys, I'm telling you, with Dan Campbell, it may actually be a hit this year. It may be come back to being a really interesting Hard Knocks this year, because he's got quotes that are just unbelievable. Like he apparently dropped a quote about, and we won't even play this one because I didn't want to get to it, but that basically it doesn't matter if our opponents have, you know, three toes and one butt cheek. That we gonna still kick their butt, but he said it another way.
Yeah.
I mean, he just got great quotes, and there was a great scene where a kid goes up to him, and he's signing autographs or whatever, and he asks him, "Hey, say hi to this player for me, please, coach." And the coach says, "All right," and he takes the marker that he's using to sign and stuff, writes a note on his hand, "Tell so and so hi from this kid." And then they go back and make a video for the kid. I mean, I'm sure it's produced and everything, but no, it's just really good. You're starting to like Dan Campbell. Like, Dan Campbell's a star of this damn thing.
He's the star of the show. Player, though.
Because Dan Campbell's fun. Like, that's what you saw last year. Dan Campbell's great.
Remember, he was a Dallas Cowboy tight end. Let's not forget it. He's an Aggie.
He's an Aggie, right?
But he's just nuts. I won't hold him being Aggie against him.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, man.
I think he was actually at college with Aaron Glenn when Aaron Glenn was at Texas A&M.
He hired him as a DC.
I think they were together at Texas
Great
A&M.
Great point about that, yeah. I still remember his biting kneecap speech.
Oh, my God, when he first got the job.
That was fantastic. My favorite quote, he made a joke when he first got the job that they got the wrong Campbell. Because Matt Campbell he had talked about it. He was like, I suck at him. They got the wrong Campbell.
They thought they were talking to Matt.
Dude, this guy is hilarious, man. So, honestly.
Can you get some wins, though?
I don't know. I'm not going to lie. I don't know if it translates to wins.
I don't know.
But my thing is, it's two rules of sports, all right? Because sports is entertainment. People don't look at it like that. Be good or be entertaining. The Dallas Cowboys, they're not always good.
But they're definitely entertaining. Exactly.
But they're entertaining.
Exactly.
And the Detroit Lions aren't good, but I got to tell you, they're very entertaining right now. Okay, so they have Aiden Hutchinson, who's their number one overall draft pick. You know, they do kind of the rookie hazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
We won't play the whole thing.
Wait, did you ever? So tell me. Yeah. Were you hazed? What was your hazing?
We had to just sing. We had to sing like our school song. Okay. I believe that was it. I had school singing, and you had to do it with like some passion. You can't just go up there and do it. Or they'd throw
you had to sing
because they were ours and with the Giants.
You had to sing it.
You had to sing it.
Okay.
No, you had to sing it because with the Giants, they did it in the cafeteria. So they would throw food at you.
Okay.
They just throwing the food at you if they didn't like what they, or if a guy was a rival there. So it was a Sooner or Aggie there, they just throw food at you. Shut that door. So they had a little fun that way. So it wasn't true hazing, but usually, you got to perform some type of, I don't know, talent somehow. Aiden Hutchinson, the first round pick, apparently his talent was that he is such a fan of the song Billie Jean that he knew it by heart and wanted to entertain the players a cappella with his Billie Jean performance.
She was born like a beauty queen and the whole thing sing. I said, no mama, do me, I know.
He's dancing to it the whole time.
Yeah.
All right, that's enough. But he rocked it. I became a fan of him too. Because the whole point is to humiliate yourself. You know you're gonna sound stupid, so just go up there and do it with passion.
But the good thing about it, he picked a song that people like, and they started singing it with him, so it kind of drowned out all of the zaniness that you expect from a rookie that's up there singing, especially a Michael Jackson song.
That's brilliant.
And he's a defensive end.
Yeah.
He got it
and he's
perfect.
Doing something. He's doing like his version of some of the dance moves.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're right. No, that's a good point, though.
Everybody joins singing. Him. Exactly.
Before he even got through with the first verse, everybody was already,
I like this song.
That was a karaoke method of it.
Exactly.
Make sure it's something
Get
everybody
involved.
Knows. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Great job.
Yeah, that's why he's a team leader.
Yeah.
Okay, so also the starting running back for them, and we know who this guy is, and I can't, his name
is it Swift?
It may be.
It is. DeAndre Swift.
But I don't know if that's the guy that's giving the speech, though.
I don't think it is.
It is. It's one of the running backs. Yeah. Maybe it's not the starting running back, but it's one of the running backs, like a team leader on the team. And he gives a speech to the team right before practice, right after Dan Campbell is telling him basically to break it down. And it's emotional and definitely inspirational. Here is one of the pre-practice speeches.
Come on, Williams, break it up. I'm going to let y'all know, man, today is the minimum of effort. Do not give up. Do not feel like you're tired. When you're tired, think of last year and think of that f***ing record. Every time I get tired or I think I can't go no more, I think of that f***ing record. Last year wasn't it. That ain't us. We can make it. Have some heart. I get emotional about this. I'm about to cry because I care about y'all. Do your best. Let's go.
Lions on three. 1, 2, 3.
Lions.
Oh, thank you, Texas Jamal Williams. Thank you very much. Oh, my. Isn't that great?
That is passion.
I thought that was Rojo, right? Roshan Johnson. Can you play it again? It really could be Rojo right there talking to Texas. Every time I think about that Devin Reagan, that 5-7. Every time I think about the Kansas at home. Damn it. That could have been Texas football. That really could have been Texas.
Oh,
that's
my
great.
Goodness.
That is so good.
We gotta
play that again. Because
think about it.
It brings you joy.
Think about it.
His suffering brings you joy. It does.
His suffering brings you joy.
He was about to cry.
Every time I get tired, I think about that record.
He's going to get an acting job. They're like, how do you cry on cue? I think about that effing record.
I think about that record.
Method acting, right? I think about that record.
I go to a dark place every time I feel like I need to get a tear. Where do you go?
5-7. 5-7. So Matthew McConaughey's next role. How do you get inspired, Matthew? 5-7.
5-7. Kansas.
Losing to Kansas at home.
Dude got an Applebee's contract. He got an NIL deal from Applebee's.
Oh, man. All right. Thank you, Texas.
Oh, man.
That was great. I love that.
That was outstanding.
I'm going to play that again later just for the hell of it.
This is the underdog team of the year.
It is.
Like, everyone's going to be rooting for Detroit. Everyone's going to be rooting for Detroit.
Is this going to be your team you adopt?
It may be. It's one of the final three.
One of the three finalists.
I need you to pick this team, Patrick, because I don't want Rod Babers being the only person, him and Chip Brown. Doing the Lions from Detroit.
Yeah.
I need you and Axel Foley.
Yeah.
Axel Foley.
I'm going to call Chip Brown. We're going to get together and have a watch party for Hard Knocks.
That one game they're on TV.
Exactly. At one time.
That's day one.
All right. We'll come back. Have some fun here. We'll come back and talk Texas football. Go behind the burnt orange curtain. We'll talk about the Cedric Baxter commitment. Also, Athlon Sports ranked every starting quarterback in the FBS. We'll talk about the quarterbacks the Longhorns are facing and also whether it's the Longhorns starting quarterback rank on that list. All that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.